This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's overtime with Pete on Sports here on The Fan. You and me for another hour. Like doing this. We need to talk CK and letting us do this more. Hey, Jason Bishop and I, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noon here on 106.7 The Fan. New Orleans leading Memphis. Grizz wearing the old Vancouver uniforms tonight. They look sharp, 97-90. Toronto, all they do is win. Nick Nurse, man, guy's done a heck of a job there. Take away Kawhi Leonard. They just keep on winning. 107-103 over Miami. Philadelphia leading San Antonio 50-43. Wizards lost earlier today to the Pacers, 111-100. But there still is a bright spot there. We'll talk about that. Denver beating Oklahoma City today in overtime, 121-113. To talk about the NBA reboot, it's my man Making the Cut with Mook. Mook Washington joins me here on The Fan. Mook, what's up, buddy?
Not much, my man. Thank you for having me on.
Look, so far through three or four days of this thing, the most impressive 12 minutes, maybe even the most impressive 6 minutes of basketball to me, came from the Houston Rockets last night, when for the first time perhaps, certainly in the Mike D'Antoni era with the Rockets, the Houston Rockets actually had a pulse defensively. They actually showed up at a key time in the game and were able to hold off Giannis and the Bucks last night. If the Rockets even play remotely close to that defensively, I do believe they belong in the discussion now with the two LA clubs, with Denver, as legitimate teams like Toronto and Milwaukee to eventually win this thing. The only question I ask is that fool's gold, or can we maybe expect that? And maybe is that some of the influence of Russell Westbrook and having been through these types of games? Him and Harden have obviously played together before. Is this team maybe finally turning a corner?
If they can package that defensive effort last night, they can. Covington, I think, really helps them defensively along with P.J. Tucker. And Jeff Green, who doesn't ever seem to age, can still give contributions. I think what impressed me so much about the Rockets last night was they shot under 40% against the Bucks, who was such a good defensive team and also such a good offensive team. And yet they were able to gut out, get enough stops last night to still win. And P.J. Tucker had an awful night. He shot 4-for-14. But getting Covington, like I said, Jeff Green, Daniel House contributes. Maybe the Rockets do have enough. I just don't know if they have enough against a team like the Clippers in a seven-game series to sustain those sort of shooting woes that they had last night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that – and probably because of the shooting woes, that even made it more unbelievable that they won the game. By the way, Jeff Green's just going to be standing over there in the corner. That's where he always stands. You got to go guard him over there. He's going to hit a big three at some point out of the corner during the course of the game. And by the way, Daniel House – was a wizard at one point. He was a wizard, you know? Yeah. Obviously, he wasn't the same player then, but he could have been here. He could be really helping this team right now. We've seen some good and we've seen some bad from the Lakers so far. Thoughts on what you've seen for a couple of times that we've seen them under the lights now for real down there?
When LeBron gets off the court, It is very, very ugly, and it's why I'm really down on the Lakers, and I'll be the first one to say it. I don't think we're going to see them in the NBA Finals. You're asking J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters, and Kyle Kuzma to do way too much than what they could do at this point in their career. I do kind of feel bad for Kuzma because I do believe if he had played in the FIBA World Cup, remember he was on the team, but he got hurt, that experience would have helped him. But at times, he seems lost out there. And if he's lost now, good gracious, how's he going to play when a playoff series that actually counts happens? And you know how it is to play with LeBron. He's going to have very little patience with that. J.R. Smith is just long in the tooth. Yes, if you can limit him under 20 minutes, knowing that he's going to come in there and just shoot, maybe defend on two or three possessions, if you're asking him to do more over a seven-game series, I just don't believe he can do it. And Deion Waiters is Deion Waiters. We all know the history of Deion Waiters, and we're all waiting for that moment where he returns to being a locker room distraction and a bad teammate. So for me with the Lakers, I am really, really, really on the side of selling more than buying them because I just don't think that they can do this for the next few months to win an NBA championship.
You know, the work that Nick Nurse has done in Toronto, and it's not, and I think, unfortunately, I've seen some people on Twitter do this over the last couple of days. I don't think what Nick Nurse has done with Toronto is an indictment on Dwayne Casey in any stretch of the imagination. But what Nick Nurse has done without Kawhi Leonard in the lineup, and they have still found a way to persevere, move forward, and be very effective. I think it's tremendous work with what Nick Nurse has done. And more importantly, I think it's tremendous work by the players in that locker room who basically, you know, were told at the beginning of the season, all right, Kawhi's gone. You guys will take a step back. And yet they haven't. And they've really done some impressive work against a couple of very good teams here so far down in Orlando.
Sometimes I think we underestimate coaching in the NBA, and I understand why, because it is a player's first league. But Nick Nurse being able to coach a team that had a superstar in Kawhi Leonard, lose them, and then be able to coach this team, plug everyone in. They have not missed a beat having a leader like Kyle Lowry, who can control the locker room, Siakam, Van Fleet, who wasn't even drafted. And I do think they have guys, I think they have either three or four guys out of the NBA G League. And that should be a blueprint for some of these teams on how to use the G League. The Raptors have used it perfectly. So, yes, they lost a big star in Leonard, but they've been able to persevere. And right now, them and the Bucks could be the best team in the East, and they could very well beat the Bucks in the seven-game series without Leonard. And I think it would just validate what coaching means in the NBA. I'd also think it would validate the G League, which I think the NBA really, really needs. And it would not be bad for PR to see a team without one of the superstars get back to the finals or possibly win an NBA final, because we haven't really seen it since the Pistons upset the Lakers.
Look, I mean, when you look at the work that Siakam has done there, and, I mean, Fred VanVleet was ridiculous today. Yes. I mean, 36. You know, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 13. Look, Fred VanVleet's getting to the free throw line 13 times. And I don't think any of us coming out of Wichita State thought we were going to see Freddie VanVleet for 42 minutes, shoot 50% from the field, 13 of 13 at the line, and go for 36 in a game against the Miami Heat. Eric Spoelstra right now has to be going, what on earth just happened here?
You know, he has a team, speaking of Spoelstra and the Heat, and they did play a good game today. They just didn't have enough. But he has a team that he can fashion out of Toronto. A lot of the pieces on paper are sort of the same. They like to do some of the same things. Just that right now Toronto's ahead of them. I'm glad you brought up the free throw shooting. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just perception. But it seems like more fouls that are legitimate fouls are being called since the restart. More traveling is being called. Technicals are being called. It's as if these games are truly being officiated.
I would agree with that so far. There's no doubt about that. Even in the nondescript games, like a couple of the Wizards games that I've watched so far, they have also, I thought, I mean, look, Washington doesn't play defense anyway. We know that. But, you know, the other night, you know, we actually saw the Lakers get called for a couple of traveling violations in the fourth quarter. And maybe the NBA has had some semblance of a come-to-Jesus meeting off the court by saying, look, people are making fun of our game because at times it has a WWE smell to it. And maybe at some point Adam Silver and the league and the officials have had, you know, some kind of reconsideration here, because there's no question, as much as I love the league, and obviously you and I see each other at basketball all the time, but there at times is almost like a WWE entertainment factor that comes along with this game that I do believe sometimes rubs some people the wrong way. I really do.
Oh, it does. And
I mean, look, the foul they talked about the other night, just to make sure Giannis didn't foul out. I mean, that was pretty obvious. I thought, look, Marcus Smart says a lot of things, and sometimes they're not bright, but I think Marcus Smart was smart right there. I think he was spot on. I don't think there's any question. We see that happen all the time.
Yes. Yeah, there's no doubt. People raise their hand when they're 5 feet away from the foul, so they get the foul.
Yes, okay, it's on you.
Teammates. And Giannis did. Giannis got bailed out on two occasions where he could have easily have had his sixth foul. And you're right. Then it gets people, the WWE, feel like, oh, we know what the NBA wants. The NBA wants this team versus this team. I've even heard it with the Pelicans, who finally got a win tonight, which was, oh, they lost their first two games. I'm sure Adam Silver is upset because, you know, the league wants New Orleans to open out against the Lakers. And, you know, that's just something that we never say in college. We don't go into a college season or the NCAA tournament saying, oh, well, you know, we know the selection committee wants these two teams. At least people don't have that conversation unless it involves Duke. But, you know, but it's always with the NBA, and you're right, it is a perception thing. And with sports where it is now, they are at the forefront and they are in the spotlight. And so you're right. Maybe it's time for them to sit down and say, hey, look, guys, let's straighten this out. Let's have this look like it's on the up and up, because we have a lot of eyes on us.
Oh, there's no question about that right now, with the sports situation being the way it is. I mean, it's a great opportunity for the NBA to reengage with some people and bring them back to the fold. Indiana essentially went with a shorter lineup today, a shorter bench overall. Malcolm Brogdon at one point wasn't going to play. He eventually does play and goes for 20. Victor Oladipo, you know, does sit it out. But what the heck has gotten into T.J. Warren? Has the college score that was T.J. Warren finally starting to arrive right now in the NBA? Because he went for a triple-double today against the Wizards, backing up that obviously 53-point game the other night, showing that, hey, it's not a fluke. And by the way, he went for 34 today and went 1-for-6 from three-point range.
Yeah, Warren is showing what we all thought he would do in college. And situations also help him, you know, the environment. At Phoenix, even if you do score, it's kind of like, who cares? You're a big number guy on bad team. We've seen that throughout the NBA. And frankly, from his peers, you just don't get respect. But he got a great opportunity here in Indiana, especially with them being without Sabonis. It's probably, some more good looks for him, And now he's showing that he can contribute on a team that can win. And I don't know if he's ever been asked to do that since high school, but he's doing it now, and they're putting him in great situations where he can score, and he continues to score here in the restart.
You know, I think if there's anything so far, it's come out of especially these last couple of games for the Wizards. Every game that Thomas Bryant plays is a chance for him to get better, and I really over the last two ball games, I like the fact that he is sensing the opportunity that is at hand and has at least tried to do something with it. Another double-double today, 9 of 12 from the field. So he's finishing well, stepping out, proving to be a threat now beyond a three-point arc for this club as well. Four offensive rebounds, which shows me he's being active as well. You know, if anything, look, we knew they weren't going to make the playoffs. It was, even if they'd have had Bradley here, it would have been a lot tougher for them to catch the eighth spot in the East. But the guys that need these games, in the case of guys like Thomas Bryant, guys like Rui, guys like, you know, Troy Brown Jr., these guys are, in my mind, at least taking advantage of the minutes and the opportunity, especially Bryant, because if they're going to go anywhere, they've got to have somebody have a pulse in the pivot. And at least Bryant now at that spot seems to be sensing the opportunity at hand and is taking advantage of it. Even had three blocks in the game today as well.
Yeah, and I always have to remind myself, and Wizards fans should remind themselves, why they're there in Orlando, which is to get this experience. Like you said, no one thought they were going to make a run for that eighth spot, and frankly, they aren't. But it's also which one of these guys can take advantage of this situation and then fit in once Wall and Beal, and if they sign Bertans, comes back, because a guy like Thomas Bryant becomes important. Because you're going to need those offensive rebounds. You're going to need the rim protection. You're going to need the hustle plays that he provides. And he can stretch now, or he's in the process of being a threat from stretching. So those are all things that can contribute to the team when they're theoretically, you know, full-blown and they have everyone back. Same thing with Troy Brown Jr. The only thing I worry about Troy Brown Jr. is when Wall and Beal gets back will be his minutes, because I'm still trying to see if he can operate where he's getting maybe 14 minutes a night and not getting the minutes that he's getting now. I saw him in the G League back in his rookie year. They have him playing point and learning how to play point down there. But we all know once Wall and Beal gets back, his minutes, his shot attempts are going to be limited. So it's going to be that readjustment period for him. So that's where I'm kind of worried, because as you know, if I come into a game knowing that I'm going to play 30-plus minutes and I'm going to get 12, 13 attempts, that's different from me coming into a game where I think I'm going to get 8 to 12 minutes and maybe like 3 or 4 attempts. So I think he's the one that is going to have the biggest adjustment when they get fully healthy. But, yeah, I'm glad to see that the young guys are all taking advantage of the minutes that they're getting, because the Wizards on paper in a year or two should be able to compete for a playoff spot in the East, you know, if Wall comes back fully healthy.
I don't know if I'm dreaming or not, but I see John Wall speeding down the court and dishing to a wide open Davis Bertans on the wing, and I just see nothing but splash right through the net. Am I dreaming, or is there any chance that they can get Davis Bertans back in the fold here for next year?
I think the biggest thing on their side is the uncertainty with the salary cap. Once the NBA, and they're still working with the Players Association on where they're going to set the salary cap over the next couple of years, because what has happened with COVID and obviously what happened with their deal in China. So now you have to recalculate whether there's going to be money on the open market for someone to sign Bertans at what he possibly wants. So I think that actually plays in the Wizards' favor. Now, a team like Miami, can they move money around? Absolutely. They can move money around to sign him, but if you believe what you're reading, they're out trying to move money around to possibly sign someone like Oladipo. So I think the Wizards do have a good chance, because a lot of teams that didn't plan on being over the cap, a lot of teams that didn't want to be up against that the luxury tax threshold might end up in that threshold. Now they're not looking to add money on. And Bertans is going to get paid, so no. I don't think it's wishful thinking at all. I think there's a really good chance that he's back here in Washington.
Two other interesting angles here. Are you buying or selling on Jerome Robinson?
Selling. I think this is a situation where it's the perfect time for him, in a perfect situation where there's no pressure. The roster is really light of veterans, and he can get and do things that probably on a better team that he would not be able to ask be done. I think what the Wizards can do with him and a couple other players is you showcase them here and then you move them. When you get fully healthy, you move them. Maybe you get an extra second-round pick, or you get some sort of low first-round pick to continue building in your organization. But I'm definitely selling.
Who wins the backup battle to back up John Wall next year, Smith or Napier or neither?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to say it's going to be Ish Smith. And the only reason I say that is I think they're going to end up wanting a veteran if Wall is coming back and he's kind of slowing his comeback. I think they want a veteran to have those minutes as opposed to someone like Napier have those minutes, because with Ish Smith, what I can do is, until Wall is 100%, I can play him any amount of minutes, and then I can reduce those minutes. And he's been in this league for so long in that role, he is used to it. I'm not sure if you can get the same thing out of Napier to give him significant minutes and then yank him away in the middle of the year and say, hey, look, you're only going to get 8 to 12 minutes, but they need to be 8 to 12 productive minutes. And I'm just not sure that he's ready to do that, and I think Ish Smith is.
You've obviously spent some time over the entertainment sports arena. You see a lot of the G League action. We've seen guys like Shake Milton come through there with the Delaware Club and everything. And, you know, what do you make of what they're looking to accomplish now with the team of guys that essentially are bypassing college and essentially going to put together what amounts to an all-star team of sorts of these guys and maybe some other free agents sprinkled in to fill the team? But what do you make of the NBA at least opening that door to those players who, let's face it, a majority of those guys who feel like they still have already established a brand, maybe already in talks with a shoe company for a deal, they're going to go that route. I'm not sure it's going to be as many people as some folks think, but at least that door is now open to a handful of prospects to bypass college who we know probably don't want to spend time there. Anyway, what do you think of that now at least being an avenue for some of these players to skip that faux 1 year of college?
I love it. I think it's a great idea by the NBA. I know there's components in those contracts to set aside money for education and other things to ensure that they don't get overwhelmed off the floor or with their finances. I think it's a great job. I'm an options guy. I think that these kids should have as many options as they can. If they don't want to be in college basketball, you've seen me around. I love college basketball, and I would rather for a kid that doesn't want to be there not to be there, and to have a kid who does want to be there have that scholarship, even if it means that some kid that you've seen on recruiting boards since they've been in 10th grade doesn't end up playing college basketball. Trust me, college basketball will be more than fine. I think this was more in reaction to what was happening on the international stage when you see guys like Ball go overseas to Australia. The Australian NBL League over the last 2-3 years, ever since they were sold to a new investor, they have really upped their game at attracting talent, and they have become a very viable option for high school kids because that game, that international game, resembles the NBA game a lot more than the college game does. And I tell people this all the time. The NBA now looks more like FIBA than FIBA looks like the NBA. From 1992 to 2020, a lot of things have changed. And I think the international game has such an impact on the NBA that kids were starting to look at that was a viable option as opposed to going to college. Now they'll be in the United States. They can get a contract. As you said, it's not going to be as many people as people think. It's not going to be 12 players a year that's going. It will be 2 or 3. They might put out 5 offers and only 2 accept because 3 want to go to college. Cade Cunningham, who could have taken one of those contracts, decided not to. He's going to Oklahoma State. I know his brother's on the staff, but he spurned the money of the G League. So it's not going to damage college basketball. I think it's great for the kids who feel like college isn't good for them. And frankly, I think it's good for college basketball not to have as many of these one and done and these 1 year almost glorified AAU teams. It would be nice to have kids in college a little bit longer that want to be there.
No doubt about it. Hoss, nobody to better talk basketball with than you. Let's do it again sometime, pal. Appreciate the visit.
Thank you very much, Pete.
You got it. My man, Mook Washington. Follow him at MTC with Mook on Twitter. Nobody sees more basketball at all levels around here than my man. 1-800-636-1067. Your thoughts on the NBA's reboot so far? And we've seen some sloppy close games with some high drama at the end. Your thoughts on that? We'll take it now. Also, the Caps lose 3-2 in a shootout to Tampa. And of obviously, D.C. football. And it looks like we're going to have both teams as obviously The Rock investing in the XFL, buying the entire league. He bought the whole league for $15 million. I'm not even sure that gets you 10% of an NFL team. But he bought the whole league for $15 million today, and it makes you wonder that they're going to play. They're not going to just buy it to buy it. At some point, the Defenders, St. Louis, Houston, Seattle, they may all be back. But at what point will you come back out and watch it after having it ripped away from you because you all here in D.C. really supported the Defenders very strongly? All that and more, your phone calls as you and me go up till 10 o'clock. Darris Dameron's doing all the hard work. When you call in, make sure you say hi to him. We're back after this on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Caps fall 3-2 in a shootout. Play without John Carlson. Philly on Thursday. I tell you what, you know what's one of the funnest things if you're a hockey fan? Is watching Penguins Twitter during the course of a game. They go from being, literally in the course of 2 minutes on Twitter, the greatest team to the worst team that has ever put on hockey skates. It is so funny to watch Penguins Twitter during the course of a game. As up and down as we are, obviously, and have been through the years with the Capitals, it is nothing like what Penguin fan goes through during the course of watching their team during the course of a hockey game. It is absolutely hysterical to watch that. Finish up a couple of the points that I was talking about with Mook Washington. And obviously, I hope you listen intently. There's nobody that pays attention to basketball more, even pays more attention than I do, because he gets around to more places. Obviously, I can't get to as many college games because I'm doing a college team that plays on Wednesdays and Saturdays when everybody else is. And, you know, we were talking about a couple of things here. I mean, Thomas Bryant, you know, this is a guy that has to – there is opportunity here for him. And there's opportunity at that spot. And if the last two games, maybe this is some of the maturity that's necessary for the player to understand what is at hand. And there's opportunity for him to really cash in eventually here. If he is the guy, and look, he's not going to get 20-11 when Beal and Wall are back because there's just not going to be as many shots. But there's no reason why he can't get 11. He can get those rebounds. Those he can get. And if he has the ability to step out and be a screen and roll guy that can step out and a team have to acknowledge him as a three-point threat, you've now unclogged the lane for John Wall to be able to do some business in there, either finishing or drawing the defense and kicking outside to Bradley Beal. Which is why I think it is imperative that you get Davis Bertans back here. Because if you've got John Wall probing at a high level and his ability to do it, then you've got the makings of a completely different offense. And there's no question without John being here, we have watched this team struggle mightily offensively, and there have been some nights where they've just said, "Hey, Bradley, you got to go bail us out. Go make a shot, Brad. None of us are making shots. Brad, you go make one." Brad's triple covered, still goes and makes a shot. Still finds a way to weave through traffic, make a shot. And I believe that we get more. I believe we can get more out of Bradley Beal when John comes back. Because now Brad doesn't have to do quite as much with the ball to get a shot. I just think it becomes so much better for this team when John comes back. And I think it's going to be even more for Bradley. I mean, the fact that Bradley Beal scored, you know, what he was able to do this year without a lot of support some nights. I mean, I think the sky's the limit again for those two. As a backcourt, the question's going to be is how much will the minutes and how much will they watch John's minutes when he returns? Because there's no question, you know, you're out here playing pickup right now. It becomes a different ball game when people are coming at you, running double teams at you over the course of a 48-minute game. I understand that. But I don't I do believe that this club has an opportunity, but you need to have a situation where guys like Troy Brown are coming off the bench. And I thought Mook brought up a great point. Will there be enough maturity for some of these guys who are getting minutes now, who may not necessarily get those minutes when this roster gets reconfigured? You know, I mean, you're a lot better if you've got, you know, a Brown coming off your bench. You know, and I will be fascinated to see what happens with Jerome Robinson. Shot it poorly today, still at 17 points in the game. Shot it poorly from distance, though. And I believe guys like this, and don't fall in love with where he was picked. Sometimes teams fall in love with a player, especially in basketball. You see this all the time. You see guys get overdrafted all the time. And those guys end up getting general managers fired. The one thing that I'm really on the Ish Smith Shabazz Napier deal. I mean, I think that's if both of these guys are still here when camp opens next year, I think that job for the backup point guard is one to watch come training camp for them. I think that's a significant battle, and I don't think you can go wrong with either guy. Mook's point's right about Ish Smith. He's a guy that understands the role. And I even believe Napier understands what the role has become for him now in the NBA, at least a little bit. I don't think you're going to get – and I think Shabazz can maybe defend a little bit better, not necessarily get taken advantage of as badly by bigger guards, as you might get with Ish in the ball game at times. But and I think that could be the one difference. But if I could get Shabazz to buy into that role, saying, look, I mean, we know John's going to be on a – I don't care what anybody tells you. John's going to be on a minutes restriction when the season starts, at least, for a little while. How long that lasts, that remains to be seen. But I like Napier. If I could get him to buy in for that role and say, look, man, you could really make a nice check for several years doing this, and we'll keep you here doing it, I'd go that route. I mean, I like the way Shabazz shot the ball today. I like some of the things that he did offensively. You know, got to the free throw line a couple times. And, you know, I just don't see Ish doing that when he's in that role for this team. And that's the one difference. That's the one difference. I think Shabazz, physically a little bit different player, and maybe can do a little bit more and not necessarily get taken advantage of at the defensive end in that role, because that role is going to be very important. And everybody's going to we're going to go crazy. Yay, John's back. But there's going to be middle portions of these games where John's not going to be on the floor. And those guys are going to have to play significant minutes in the middle part of the game, because we want John there to start the game, set the tone. We want John on the floor in the fourth quarter when the money's on the line. I need the deuce out there when the money is on the line, because that young fella is going to be hungry when he comes back. And as we have seen in that role, he is not afraid late in the ball game. And that's the thing that I'm looking forward to, is him being back and being hungry and giving them a guy at the end of a game who can go make a play, either for himself or for somebody else. When he was standing on top of the scorer's table, you can't tell me you weren't excited, and you can't tell me you didn't think we were turning the corner here in D.C. from a hoops perspective, because I truly believe that we were. And then all of a sudden, his injury, we became also-rans again, and we became irrelevant again. And Bradley Beal can't get votes for the NBA's all-league team because he was playing here, playing his rear end off in relative anonymity. Well, it's not going to be – nobody's going to be anonymous next year. Nobody's going to be anonymous next year when John Wall comes back. If these workout videos have been anything, it at least shows us that the player in the short term here, is going to be able to come back and play at a reasonably explosive level. Maybe not quite the same explosion if you want to measure the analytics. Big deal. But I can see the man getting up still, dunking with the offhand. That's enough to get me excited about what John Wall will be able to bring to this team come November or December, whenever we restart this league. And as a fan of this team from the womb, and tell you an interesting story, too, here before we go to break. Someone who is an 8-year-old was sitting in the stands at the Capitol Center all by myself in an aisle seat because my mother was working in the ticket office at the time. So I was an 8-year-old, and I got an aisle seat like in the middle of the lower bowl. I was the man, okay? My wife found a 1978 championship ring in an auction, and we got it for my mother, and we gave it to her when we were on vacation last month. And it brought tears to my mother's eyes. It brought tears to my eyes. But that's how long it's been since we were relevant here. You know, I go back and watch the YouTube videos of those games in 78 and 79. You go back and look at that and go, man, this is how they presented NBA basketball to us. Look how long ago that was. Look how long ago that was. We thought C. Webb was taking us. No, wait a minute. We thought Cliff Robinson and Jeff Rulin were taking us places. No, that didn't happen. We thought Chris Webber was taking us places. No, that didn't happen. That was a bad trade. God bless Mitch Richmond. He tried. But this, John Wall and Bradley Beal have the opportunity to be as dynamic as anybody in the league. And we were turning the corner as a franchise. And then what has happened to John and what it did to D.C. basketball on the pro level, it's just heartbreaking, just gut-wrenching. Because this franchise was turning the corner finally. It was turning the corner. And Ted is invested in both players, and I want there to be a payoff. Just like, and I say this all the time, Ted invested in us as fans of hockey with Alexander Ovechkin. He got the payoff with the Stanley Cup. And I know winning a championship is the toughest thing in every, especially at the professional level, it's tough. But Ted's investment in John Wall, an investment in Bradley Beal, an investment in the franchise, deserves a better payoff than what it's brought us so far. We were getting there, though. We were close. We were getting close. And unfortunately, the injury bug took that away from us with John Wall. We can only hope that he gets another chance to get us back to that level when he is back in this lineup in November, December, whenever the NBA decides to restart. Last call in overtime is straight ahead on 106.7 The Fan. Hopefully we get to do this a little bit more as baseball continues on with these odd times, Capitals games with some odd times. We'll take it. Been enjoyable, and it's moved incredibly fast here tonight. Mike Soroka, the Braves, may have an Achilles injury that hurts the Braves now going forward. Mets leading them 7-2, though the Braves have an uprising going right now, bottom of the seventh with one out, and the bases are loaded there. Gerrit Cole, when he was a Pirate, you knew he was decent. You just didn't know how good he could become because of the team he was playing on. That guy is filthy right now. Who's the only team, by the way, that's beaten him in, like, the last year? Oh, that'd be the Washington Nationals, the world champion Washington Nationals. Just wanted you to remember that because the Nats are actually going to – well, they're again, if they play tomorrow night, I'm shocked, okay? That means that Tropical Storm did a button hook to the right and got out of here quickly. But the Mets will be here tomorrow and Wednesday. Would have to look at the schedule to see if they could be here Thursday because I know the Nats have an off day on Thursday. So they could actually play on Thursday if that's the case. And hey, maybe Wednesday we get 2 7-inning doubleheaders. I don't mind that, to be honest with you, by the way. I'm cool with that. Got no problem with it. If that's the case, absolutely no problem with it. Look, we invest tons of money. It's not 1950 anymore. It's not 1970. We invest tons of money in these players. We want them to be around for a long time. And unfortunately, sometimes, injury gets them. And if playing doubleheaders for seven innings is something that can help us maintain our stars, I am fine with that. Mets are off Thursday. I would bet a dollar these games are going to be Wednesday and Thursday instead of Tuesday and Wednesday. But that's just me. It's just me. So Soroka with an injury. The Mets leading the Braves tonight. Phillies getting clobbered by Garrett Cole and the Yankees leading 6-1. Cleveland up 2-1 over Cincinnati in the fourth. Pittsburgh leading Minnesota 4-0 as they play right now. Bottom six, White Sox 2-1 over Milwaukee as they play in the bottom of the fifth inning. The Washington football team, hey, I said it right. Bless me. Washington football team today waving Cameron Malvo, Maurice Smith, Caleb Watson. None were going to make the club anyway. Josh Ferguson could end up on somebody's roster, but, again, too crowded of a running back room here in Washington. And Josh Harvey Clemens, the linebacker, opting out of the 2020 season. If he is under contract, then I have to look it up for next year. You know, get the $150,000 stipend that you got to pay back to your club. And that's not a free $150,000 that these guys that are opting out get. And, you know, I mean, again, it's one of those solid cases. I can't opt out. I mean, I could opt out of working here at the Fan, but I wouldn't get paid. So these guys are fortunate enough they're going to opt out. They get a chance. They at least get that stipend to keep them going, but eventually they'd have to pay that money back as they opt out. Last call tonight, in the final 60 seconds that we have. Folks at NBC let go of some really good people today. Locally, you know, the show that Tim Murray, Sarah Perlman, and Michael Jenkins did in the afternoons is not returning to NBC Sports Washington. Michael Jenkins has given us an awful lot here, and I've never met Michael Jenkins, never met him face-to-face, never shook his hand, nothing, never been in the same place as him. But I felt like I knew Michael Jenkins because every time he was on my TV, I felt like he connected with me as a viewer. And I think that's the greatest compliment that you can pay to someone in our industry is, I don't know you. I don't have a preconceived notion because I like you. And sometimes we have preconceived notions of people we like. Oh, you're great. Well, maybe not. Maybe you're not great. Every time Michael Jenkins was on my TV, that dude was great. My thoughts are with those three as we leave you tonight. Darris Dameron did all the hard work here tonight. I just sat here and talked. Our thanks to Jake Russell and Mook Washington for joining us as well. It's been overtime on a Monday night right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.